Thank you, Joe. One word came to mind during all that was challenging. It's a challenge to remember some of those things we've learned, but the good songs in them nonetheless. In Romans chapter 1, verse 15, Romans 1, verse 15, the Apostle Paul would say, I am a debtor. In verse 14, verse 15, so as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I want to challenge us this afternoon to consider some things about the gospel. What a wonderful tool the Lord has provided for us to reach a state of salvation, an understanding of what God has given to us in the way of this gift of His Son, His death on Calvary's cross, and what it means to each and every one who has accepted that gift of life through that sacrifice. But as great and powerful as the gospel of Christ is, there are some things that the gospel cannot do. Some things the gospel was not designed to do. Some things the gospel never will be able to do. Therefore, there are some things in reference to the gospel that have been left on our shoulders. And that's what I want us to challenge ourselves about this afternoon is those things that are upon our shoulders that we don't forget and that we are not negligent in performing those tasks. Man's true hope of going to heaven rests surely on the gospel message. Well, I think we all agree on that. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first two verses there, now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, in which you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. That's not hard to understand. That's not difficult at all. Paul was glad they had heard the gospel, received the gospel, that they stood in the gospel, and that salvation had been attained through them or for them by or through the gospel. Yet again, there are some things the gospel can't, won't, never will do. The first point I'd like to make is that the gospel cannot save anyone who is determined to live in rebellion. It will never happen. That might seem like a very simplistic point. But how many folks that you and I know continue to choose to live in a rebellious state where God's concerned? They've heard the gospel maybe multiple times. They may even worship in a place that they go on Sundays or the Lord's Day or Wednesdays and they study and they hear the word and they know a little Bible, but yet they still have chosen to live in a rebellious state. Now, they're not murderers or they're not thieves. They're not killers. They're not really bad people. They're good folks, but they're in rebellion. The gospel can't save those folks. You and I can preach till we're blue in the face and teach till we're just out of breath. And still, the gospel will not save someone in rebellion. So what do we do with that? We continue to bear on our shoulders the responsibility to continue to teach and preach the gospel. You see, we're not told that we must convert folks. We're told that we must preach and teach, spread the gospel. Be the bearers of the good news, the good tidings of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And it's up to everyone who hears that, whether they choose to stay in rebellion or not. But those in rebellion, I think we take for granted sometimes, just because someone knows the gospel, that they'll reach that salvation state and that eternal abode in heaven one day. And even Jesus himself said, that's not true. For in Matthew chapter 7 at verse 21, Jesus himself would say, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven. How many folks today call on the Lord as their master, say they're Christian, follow Christ, believe in the Messiah, put it any way they want to put it, but yet still are in a state of rebellion? And all we can do with that is continue to be the right example, continue to preach and teach, and pray that one day they'll see the light, that they'll come around to God's way of thinking instead of their own, come to an understanding of the truth of God's word and how important the gospel is to obey, not just to know, not just to hear. Jesus would say, words captured in Luke 13:3, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. An unrepentant soul can by no means enter the kingdom, no matter how much of the gospel they've heard, no matter how much of the gospel they know. The second thing the gospel cannot do is the work of the church. We know that there are those in rebellion. We know that there are those who have heard the gospel who refuse to be obedient. We know that there are folks who really don't care one way or the other. The gospel will not take itself to the lost. Just won't do it. That gospel that you know that's in your Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first four verses where Paul talked about what is the gospel, that Christ died according to the scriptures, was buried and rose the third day according to the scriptures. He said that right after he said the verses in 1 and 2, the words from those verses. It won't jump out of that Bible and go and teach itself to someone who doesn't know it. The gospel cannot do the work of the church. Work of the church is to preach and teach. Mark 16, verse 15. The gospel message goes a little further in the New Testament. It tells us to help the needy and help those who are in need, that their souls are in need. But the gospel can't do that without you and I. It is on our shoulders to be the ones to spread the gospel, to teach the gospel. The gospel can motivate Christians to be compassionate. But yet, we must be the ones to step up and use that compassion within us to share the gospel message. And I know you know these things. This is one of those reminder lessons that we need to be reminded of every once in a while, that we have a responsibility. We have a duty. We talked about this morning the blessings and the responsibility of our assembling together. It is a blessing, and it is a responsibility on our part to assemble. And those elements of our worship service together, the singing, the preaching, the praying, the Lord's Supper and the giving, those things are our responsibility to do in an appropriate manner with a right heart. So is sharing the gospel. If you're not sharing the gospel with folks, we're falling down on our responsibility and duty that's given to us in Matthew 28:18-20, Mark 16:15-16, Luke 24:47. That the gospel message is to be preached to the lost. And plan A is that it's on our shoulders to do that. And when we're not doing it, we're falling down on our job. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, Paul would write to young Timothy, "And these things you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." When we teach someone the gospel and they receive it, and they are obedient to it, it becomes incumbent upon them to teach others. You may be able to reach someone in your little area of communication that I'll never know. I may be able to reach someone that you'll never know. Your cousin Bert, who lives wherever Bert may live, can reach someone who we'll never know. If we succumb to the responsibility of sharing that gospel with others. Like I said, that's plan A. There is no plan B. Sometimes I think we just take it for granted. I did a sermon, I think, at some point, three years ago, that there was a passing in our midst that someone else had died. Now who's going to do the work? We always want to leave it to somebody else will do it. We have to have that focus and mindset that somebody else is no longer with us. Somebody else is gone, never will come back. So if somebody else won't do it, can't do it, isn't here to do it, then who will? It has to be us. It has to be us. The gospel cannot serve as a substitute for prayer either. I know you may have never even thought that the gospel would be able to serve as a substitute for prayer, but it cannot. Along with the gospel, we must be a praying people. We talked about prayer some this morning. Pray before we share the gospel. Pray that we'll find someone to share the gospel with. Pray the Lord will lead us to someone who needs to hear the gospel. Pray that once they hear it, they'll be obedient, receptive to it. Pray, pray, and pray some more. He spoke a parable, Jesus did, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. I know we're praying people. We pray a lot. I think we pray a whole lot more than we share the gospel, if you want to know the truth of what I think. Prayer is not bad. It never will be bad. It's a good thing, but it needs to be paired with sharing the gospel. See, the Holy Spirit instilled in Paul that duty to share the gospel, share God's word. But he also led Paul to write that he needed prayers himself. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, Paul would write, that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. Even when Paul was in prison, he was wanting the brethren to pray for him that he might find someone to help teach the gospel to from a prison cell. Did it work? Sure. You can preach the gospel or teach the gospel anywhere you are. You're not confined to certain areas or spaces. Now, that's the way it is in this country so far. I don't know what it'll be a year from now. There may come a time in this country where it's forbidden to speak the gospel. It's happened in other places, happened in other places right now. Will we still be bold enough to speak and teach the gospel when it becomes illegal? Think about that one for a while. Pray about that one for a long while. For the courage, for the boldness to speak and teach the gospel, regardless of what men say. Paul did, Peter did, John did. Be anxious for nothing, Paul would write. We talked about this verse this morning. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. What better way to go about our duty and work in the gospel area other than praying for it to be successful. We pray often, Lord, lead me to one soul today. Willie Franklin, I don't know how many of you know Willie Franklin, ex-football player. He gets up every morning, Lord, lead me to one soul today, just one. And help me to know who that soul is when I run across him. He's looking. When he gets up out of bed this morning, when he gets ready, he's taking a shower, he's thinking about what he's going to say to that one the Lord leads him to that day. How many of us do the same thing? I don't know how many souls that man has led to Christ, but he gets up with the attitude of doing it and being successful in it. He doesn't always hear a yes. He'll be the first to tell you. It's just like in sales or anything else. You got to speak the gospel to a lot of people to hear that next yes. But he'll tell you, oh, it's worth it. It's worth every no you ever heard to get to the positive response. How many of us wake up every morning with that thought in our mind, Lord, lead me to one soul today. Show me that one. And then how many of us are ready? Have you ever had occasion to be able to speak to someone about the gospel or about the church and that got away from you and you thought after the fact, oh, if I had just said, y'all are smiling. It's happened. I know it has. Happens to all of us. The only reason it happens is because we get caught unawares. We get caught without having it right here on the front of our mind, on the tip of our tongue. Because we're so accustomed not to open our mouths about the church or about Jesus or about the gospel because we don't want to offend people. And that's a good attribute not to be able to want to offend people. But you know what? If the subject of the church or of Christ or of the gospel offends people, it's not us. We're not the offensive party. We're just doing our work. If a salesman offends you, is it your fault? No. Is it his fault? No. Unless he's just arrogant and obnoxious. But when we teach and preach the gospel, we need not be arrogant and obnoxious. We just need to be compassionate, honest, and sincere. Some people listen, some people won't. Whether they listen or not is not the issue. Teaching and preaching in the first place is the issue. Pray about it and never let it get in the way of your faith. I know sometimes it gets to a point where you try to talk to folks about the gospel, and I do Bible studies in the rehab center over at Longview Regional, do some at the nursing home, and time after time, there's never a response. You might get a little argument. You might get a little, well, I don't believe that. Well, no, that's okay. You believe what you want to believe. Had a lady tell me the other day, she grew up in the Plymouth Brethren, I believe it was. Now, I've never heard of the Plymouth Brethren. And I don't know much about their doctrine. She said, well, they're legalistic. And I said, well, like the Mennonites? She says, no, not quite. So she had some knowledge of legalism in Scripture. And she said, where are you worshiping now? I said, there's no Plymouth Brethren here. She said, no, there's no Plymouth Brethren congregations here. I said, well, where do you worship now? Well, I prayed about it, and and I believe the Lord led me to the Baptist church in such and such a town. I said, I don't think so. Lord knows better than that. The Lord would have led you to the Church of Christ over in the next town. And we had a nice little laugh about that, but she got the point. It was done in good spirit. It was done in good sincere thought and good sincerity of heart, but she got the seed planted. Now, what she does with that is her business. I only bring that up to say there's a lot of ways we can say things, and we can say it where it's very acceptable, even if you're telling somebody they're wrong. You don't have to come out and say, you know what, you're wrong. You're sadly wrong and mistaken. It can be said in other ways. And we have to find those ways to say that. That's part of our job, is to make it acceptable when folks hear it as much as possible. Not everyone will accept it, and you know that, and I know that. But it's still true that without faith, it's impossible to please God. No matter how many no's you ever hear, never let it interfere with your faith. Our faith still needs to be as strong as it was ever. Your faith today needs to be stronger than it was the day you became a Christian. And it needs to be stronger tomorrow and the next day. And it needs to continue to grow in strength and in power until the day we leave this place. Regardless of how many people accept what you have to say about the gospel or not, regardless of how many people you ever bring to the gospel or to the Lord or not, never let it affect your faith. The just, Paul said, will live by faith, Romans 1:17. Plan A. There is no plan B. The question comes to mind, how involved are you in plan A? I know our sojourner brethren are involved in plan A up to here. You guys do a great work. And you're all about spreading the gospel and teaching to folks and preaching to folks. And that's what's a wonderful work. Wish we were all that eager. Wish we were all that available to just devote our lives to that. You can devote more of your life to it than what you're devoting to it now. I know that. And it's up to us to do that. I pray that this lesson will be encouraging to you, to the point you say, well, you know what? I want to get up in the morning thinking, Lord, lead me to one soul today. Do that and see what happens. But when you pray that prayer, when you make that request of the Lord, lead me to one soul today, you be ready for that one soul, because he'll see that you find one. You'll find a soul that needs to hear the gospel, I promise you that, if you're sincere and if you're ready. You may find a soul that needs the gospel and you're not ready. Don't let that happen. You don't have to know everything about the Bible either. All you know is that God loves them just as much as he loves you and me, and his son died on the cross for their sins just like he did for ours, and that there's a way to apply that gift to themselves just like it was for us, and make that known. Make it known. Do the best you can. That's all the Lord ever asked us to do. Apply yourself. When we do that, the borders of the kingdom just expand. They get larger. We take up more territory of souls, and that's our job. That's your lesson. If you're here tonight and need to be prayed for, if you're here tonight and need to be studied with, if you're here tonight and you need some encouragement about how to share the gospel with someone else, let us know that. You see, we can only assume where you are and guess where you are in all this, and you have to make it known. You don't know where my thoughts are, and I don't know where yours are, but if you'll make it known to us, we'll see that you get the assistance that you need, wherever it may lie. And if you'll do that, I promise you, together, we'll encourage and upbuild one another, and we'll grow the church and the kingdom at the same time. You make it known while together we stand and sing.